American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
6:02 in the Fast Lane. Time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker, and with all due respect coming up, get your text into the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to with all due respect, it is the NFL preseason where every team has a fresh start and every fan is full of hope. As comedian John Crist points out, maybe those fans have too much hope. This is his version of the preseason NFL.
I mean, look at it. You can tell by the warm-ups they're doing in the preseason. This year is going to be different. Dude, our field goal kicker, he's been working out with a specialist all offseason. I've been watching his Instagram stories. Been hitting them from 80 yards. Honestly, the only reason we didn't win at all last year was injuries. That and a lot of our guys were in jail. But other than that... Our quarterback and our offensive coordinator are in their fourth year together, so like now they're finally gelling. He'll be ready week one. He's coming off two torn ACLs, a broken collarbone, and a torn Achilles, but like, trust me, dude, he's gonna be ready. Tampa Bay, unproven leadership. Kansas City, sophomore slump. Dallas, literally everyone's holding out. Do they even have a team? Our scheme is literally the best in the league. All we need to work on now is our victory formation. Oh, you see that right there, ladies and gentlemen? We are beating the Patriots in the second quarter of a preseason game by 9 points. And the Patriots, oh, by the way, lost in the Super Bowl by 8 points. The only logical mathematical conclusion you can make from that is we should have won the Super Bowl. Thank you.
That's the insufferable optimistic NFL preseason fan.
Well, I think everybody's pretty hopeful in preseason. And like I told Anthony Stalter earlier, reality usually sets in by week three.
Yeah, don't we know it? There's a long piece in the New Sports Illustrated at the MMQB about the coaching tree in Washington of Mike Shanahan, how at one time on his staff, he had Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, and Matt LaFleur. With all due respect, that's not exactly Mike Holmgren, 3 Super Bowls, 1 victory, Jim Fossil, Super Bowl appearance, Sam Weiss, Super Bowl appearance, George Seifert, 2 Super Bowl championships, and Dennis Green that were on Bill Walsh's staff in San Francisco.
I mean, Randy, close enough, but, you know, you did say with all due respect.
With all due respect, yeah.
I don't think that you can take anything away from that. Tonight, the Cardinals at home in the second of a 4-game series against Colorado will go up against starter and right-handed pitcher Peter Lambert. With all due respect to Mr. Lambert, you better eat tonight, boys.
Big time.
I mean, this guy, he has pitched better lately. His last week, which is just one start, he went 6 innings, gave up 3 runs, so that's a quality start for him. But in his last month, his ERA is 7.12. You gotta hit that bum.
Ron, I was talking to a Rockies media person who told me that Lambert is throwing famous for throwed rolls.
Yeah, that's true. Very good. Yep. Well done. I didn't know if you were going to say it.
You knew it was coming?
But kind of. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I was hoping it wouldn't.
Your text.
But I had a feeling.
Your text 65780. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
With all due respect to the Cardinals and their playoff hopes, the Yankees and Dodgers, that matchup would be the best possible situation.
It would be fun.
It would be a good World Series, yes. So would the Dodgers and Astros.
So would the Yankees and Cardinals.
Yeah, that would be great. Obviously.
Iconic franchises.
Yes.
The leader in the National
Which
League.
They
for
never
World
have
Series.
Faced each other, right?
Yeah, 64.
In the World Series? Okay, 64,
in
yeah.
In the 40s they did, yeah.
Would 26. You rather, Randy,
yeah.
If you're the Dodgers, okay, just forget about how far apart they are. Mm-hmm. Would you rather face the Astros or the Yankees?
I believe I'd rather face the Yankees because of their dearth of starting pitching, and you don't really want to go against Verlander, Cole, and Greinke.
Okay. Now when you take travel into account, like a 6-hour flight, and I know it's an easy flight, easy relative to everybody else because a charter is all right, but mm-hmm. still a lot of travel. Does that factor in your decision at all?
If I'm the Dodgers?
If you're the Dodgers. Wouldn't you rather travel to Houston? Or do you think you wouldn't care?
I don't think I'd really care. By the way, the Dodgers have the best record in the game by 2 games over the Yankees. I do think it makes a difference if you're starting at home.
The Dodgers have had back-to-back comeback walk-off wins, haven't they?
Yeah, 12 walk-off wins this season.
They were down by 3, I want to say, in the ninth last night.
They're great.
With all due respect, these player weekend uniforms are miserable.
Hideous. Awful.
Look.
Terrible.
I'm telling you, if the players dress them up right with the right, you know, sleeves.
So we should root for Marcelo Zuna's neon sleeve tonight.
That's right. That's right. Shin guards, socks, shoes. If you do all the other stuff.
Different hair colors, right?
Yeah, Cardinals. Give it a real punch. I think it will look better.
Cardinal walks up to the plate with a yellow shin guard. Are you okay with that?
Yep.
Me too.
And I actually suggested they should have allowed the players to decorate their uniforms however they wanted. It's a white blank canvas. Let them paint it.
That'd be fun. Be good.
And they are wearing white tonight,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Would you be okay with players being able to personalize their cleats on a daily basis?
Absolutely.
Me too.
It's not very intrusive as it is. You really have to look. You know, it's not going to be, I don't think it takes away from the game. And it's the best way to have some subtle style, you know?
Right.
And it's not in your face and loud. I love it. And some of the great Spikes designs that guys are coming up with for, like, pregame and this goes for football, too. There's some really clever stuff that goes on. So I would love to see it for every game.
That being said, there were people that went absolutely bananas here when Albert Pujols used to wear a black undershirt.
Well, guess what? I think people have gotten over it.
I think so, too.
Yeah. We've accepted it. It's cool when players have some personality.
I like it.
With all due respect, the New York Jets are just as miserable as the Factory of Sadness.
They haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1969. It's been pretty bad. At least they've had some playoff years, though. They did go to 2 AFC Championship games under Mark Sanchez.
Butt fumble.
That was after the championship games. So that part of it was good. Browns haven't been to the playoffs in, what, forever?
Until this year.
I think the last time they were in the playoffs was under Butch Davis in like 2002, and last winning season was 2007.
Baker, he's going to lose 3 games this year.
Hmm. But their offensive line is going to lose like 7?
Yep. I'm rooting for him.
I'd like to see him.
I would love to see
him. Those fans are diehards. Fans are great.
Do you know what? Here's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see Baker Mayfield, still a young player, relatively inexperienced, and a lot of people don't like how most quarterbacks are reserved in the way they act, the things they say. He is not. And I just want to see a guy like that immediately make an impact.
He'd be like Jim McMahon.
Yeah, but this guy's I think he's an even bigger weirdo, which I like. I just want to see this dude succeed.
This one to the Hotshot text line again, 65780. I'm stuck in traffic behind a Ferrari, and to my right is a Porsche. With all due respect, my Honda Civic goes just as fast as your car in this traffic.
And he also says, no need to act cooler than everyone. Look, I'm with you, man. I am with you.
That's great.
Well, who those Ferrari Porsche guys think they are, you know? Or gals.
Yep. And I know that with your little Honda, you probably won't have to go into the service department as often.
Well, all these folks would be better off picking up an Audi from Plaza Audi Grieve Coeur.
Or an Infiniti from Plaza Infiniti Grieve Coeur.
Good point.
I need a car deal.
Get that big QX80 going, man.
Oh, man. How about that Q5?
That'd be great.
2.0T premium?
QX80, maybe. You can just roll right over that little Ferrari or Lamborghini or whatever.
That's right. Or, I'm sorry, it's the Q7 2.0T premium. It's a good-looking vehicle.
And with all due respect, Crab Rangoon are way better than egg rolls.
I have to agree.
I agree as well.
100%. Wait a minute.
Very important to coat your, not completely coat, but at least dress your Crab Rangoon with sweet and sour sauce.
I'll tell you what I don't like is when an egg roll, they go and hide some peanut butter in it. And I love peanut butter, but I don't want it in the egg roll.
You know what I do want in an egg roll is egg. It's important.
You do? Well, yes, of course. Yeah. Then it's not an egg roll if there isn't any.
I know.
But it's just a roll.
Then they call it a spring roll or something. I don't want eggs in my egg roll. Thank you.
I don't
you.
Mind spring rolls, but I like an egg roll better.
All right. I'm with you.
What about you, Meat?
I'm crab rangoon
all, good
all the
to
way.
Me. I don't care.
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
Have you tried my place yet I told you about?
I did, actually, the other night, last Friday.
What's it called?
Wonton King.
Yeah, Wonton King.
It's on Olive. It's really good.
It's in a little
good.
Strip mall, yeah. Wasn't bad.
That's the place Vlad goes to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, we'll check it out.
Yep.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. We're going to head down to the ballpark and catch up with Danny Mack next on 101 ESPN. Danny Mack is the man. He's with us now on 101 ESPN. You will, of course, see him tonight on the Cardinal telecast as the Redbirds take on the Rockies again. Second game of a four-game series. Danny, I know it's been a really busy week for you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Everything's good. I want you, and we haven't spoken since, we saw each other at the announcement of the MLS expansion franchise the other day, but I want you to tell people that are in the audience how much it means to you for St. Louis to officially be awarded that franchise.
Well, I just think it's great. I mean, as I've said many, many times, and you and I, Randy, have talked, whether it's on your show or you know, in private, this is more than soccer. I think that if you're from here, like we are, and you love the city and you love the people, you want good things to happen, and we've been kicked in the gut. So this is such a great step in the right direction of a revitalization of areas of downtown. And I'm just so happy, because the other thing about it is the soccer community, from the sports perspective, has been wanting this for a long, long time. And I go back to the relocation letter that was written by a guy that is from, or at least lived in St. Louis and still does, I believe, you would know, Bornstein, which is remarkable to me that he would even put his fingerprints all over this, and Stan Kroenke. And I can tell you, as they were going, the soccer people going for the stadium and trying to get something done with MLS, that relocation letter was brought up and asked about and talked about. So, you know, for some to sit there and say, well, Stan left and it was a business decision and he's doubled his franchise or whatever he's going to do with his money, that's part of business. Well, to me, sports is different because it's an investment of your community back to that ownership group and back to those that are affiliated with the franchise. And so what he did was detrimental, not only in taking the team out of town, but the manner in which he did. And so to have people then say, you know what, back to the original point I was going to make, you know, we've read that relocation letter and we still believe in St. Louis. That's why this is so important. It changes, to an extent, for some, the narrative of our town. And that doesn't mean just soccer. That means big business coming in and people investing in our town. And that's why this was, in my mind, so important that we show and have shown and will continue to show that this is a great town, great place to raise a family. And by the way, we love our sports because we do.
And to have a sport that's going to coincide with the baseball season, there's going to be some overlap with NHL as well. On a game day, on what could be a perfect game day in St. Louis, maybe you have all three teams playing, and I don't know if they'd be able to stagger all of the games, and there's probably going to be some, I'm assuming there's going to be some coordination with NHL to not conflict too often. But what's a perfect game day for you going to be when that is finally here?
Well, I think it's really fascinating how they can do this, because you could have regional rivalries with various teams in MLS that are also in Major League Baseball. And the one that comes to mind clearly is Chicago. The other one is Kansas City. And I would think that there'd be those that even are not affiliated with either franchise saying, hey, by the way, if you can work on this, a great thing for our teams would be to have them play on the same day and not at the same time. So the perfect scenario to me would be in however order you want to do it, but you know, you have a game at noon or 1 o'clock or whatever, and then all of a sudden the other game starts at 6 or 7, and you've got all this commerce and business in downtown St. Louis and people going to the bars and the restaurants and partying and having fun and having visitors coming in to our town that want to experience a fun sports weekend and then take in the other things that we have to offer here. And so those are things that will get worked out. I know it's part of the plan of trying to, you know, coordinate the schedules to be able to do that. And I think it'd just be a great time. I think if you're a sports fan, whether or not you had a ticket to any of those games, you come downtown and just kind of hang out, you're going to find some fun. You're going to walk into it. So that's what makes this exciting in my opinion. And guys, the thing that I really learned that I thought I knew but I didn't know enough was just how truly, and I mean this with all due respect, crazy the soccer fan is here in St. Louis.
They're great.
I mean, these guys are, and gals, but these people, I mean, they are fired up about what's happening, and they will get behind this team and support it. And I know the community, the corporate community, has done that and continues to do so, just like they do with the Blues and the Cardinals. So it hasn't even scratched the surface of what it might be like from a fan's perspective. It's going to be just awesome.
Dan, we're about 55 minutes away from Jack Flaherty's first pitch against Colorado. As we sit here, a week away from September, how do you feel about the 2019 Cardinals?
Good question, Randy. It's a team that has hung on and a team that continues to maybe defy the odds with their starting pitching because you don't know really nightly what you're going to get. And Ricky brought up an interesting question the other day on our telecast. He said, well, you know, if I was asked to be, you know, what is this team? Like the 13 team was defined by runners in scoring position when they hit 330, or this team is defined by the grittiness of these players. And he said, I don't really have a way to define it. And I disagreed with him. I said, I think you can define it by the bullpen. To me, the bullpen is what stands out about this team. It's been really, really good. And it's, I think, what separates them from Milwaukee. It's what separates them from Chicago. And I think it's good enough to win this division. I think Fowler at the top has been something that you have to look at and continue to ride that out. I think you got to look at sitting Matt Carpenter and playing Tommy Edman. And now that, you know, the games are so important down the stretch, I think we'll see that more and more from Mike Schilt. I think he's a gambler-type manager. We saw that a little bit last year when he took over. And in August, I mean, he was running wild and gambling and realizing, look, if we're going to get in this thing and win it and have a chance to postseason play, we got to take chances. And I think that's the way that he's been managing here the last 7 or 10 days, where at times it's a quick leash on a starter and he goes for it. He gambles. And that's why I think he can be a difference maker down the stretch as well. So as this thing is coming together, I like their chances. And I do think it'll come down to the final 10 games of the regular season, of which 7 are against the Cubs. And those head-to-head matchups will mean, you know, whoever comes out on top probably wins the division. So they're going to hang around. They're going to be in this thing. If they weren't, they would have been out of it by now, and they're not. So that's why I give them a good chance to get into postseason play.
We talked about Carpenter yesterday when it was revealed that he wasn't in the lineup for last night's game. Kind of thought that he would be right back in there tonight, regardless of what happened last night. Do you think that we're going to see, and obviously he's not in tonight's lineup again, how often is that going to happen here over the next week, do you think?
Well, I'd say not only the next week, but maybe the rest of the year. I think what you saw last night and what you're seeing tonight is that he's going to put together the best lineup that he thinks is going to win. And right now that does not include Matt Carpenter. It's a delicate situation. You know, I know fans don't want to hear this, but he's owed a lot of money and he has signed an extension, and we can all, you know, debate the merits of whether or not he should have gotten that. He has it. And he's a proud player that's done a lot for this franchise. And Mike Schilt's in a tough spot with a player that, you know, it's very similar to Fowler prior to him getting hurt last year, where you're trying to get him going, and it just hasn't worked out. So Tommy Edman, when he plays in a game, I was just looking at it, he's 32-25, the club is. So they're 7 games above 500. When he starts, they are 9 games above 500. If he gets a hit, they're 11 games above 500. I mean, the numbers don't lie. You're not going to take Colton Wong out of the lineup. He's been terrific at what he's done, batting .351 in the second half of the All-Star break, since the All-Star break. So the guy that's got to sit right now is Matt Carpenter. And on the surface, just numbers-wise and performance, it's not a, a tough decision. Matt right now at the plate is not where, you know, we've seen him in the past. And the other two guys are producing. So the other two guys play. Now, the wrinkle in this, to your question, you asked me in the next 7 days how much you're going to play. I can't answer that. No one can. I think if he would come up tonight and get a base hit and, you know, look like a different guy at the plate, you might see a start out of him tomorrow. Or it could be a situation where Mike Shildt in the back of his mind says, I've got a dangerous man coming off the bench, sees a lot of pitches, can draw walks, and I'm going in that direction. I think any of that is on the table right now.
Dan, it's interesting to watch a guy like Jack Flaherty blossom. And I was thinking about this, of guys that the Cardinals have drafted and brought up to the major league level in the last 25 years or so. You've had Morris, you've had Ankiel, and to me, you've had Flaherty. Flaherty, to me, is as exciting right now as Rick Ankiel was as a rookie with his stuff and what I think he can be. Can you think of anybody else in that? In that time frame, I guess Alan Bennis maybe for a while, but Flaherty is a really special guy.
Yeah, I think Michael Wacha initially, when he first came up, he forced himself onto the postseason roster to become the, you know, NLCS MVP, and that's one that comes to mind. But man, there's not many. I just think too, when you look at him and how he's doing it, the manner in which he's doing it. It's just dominating stuff. I would have said the same thing about Alex Reyes, and unfortunately we haven't seen enough of Alex. But when he first came up and he came out of the bullpen and I watched his first game, I thought, that is the most electric stuff I have seen from a Cardinal since Rick Ankiel as a rookie. And that's why, you know, we're all still pulling for Alex. But to your point, we're seeing Jack Flaherty put it all together. And here in the second half, he's been awesome. I mean, he's had 7 starts since the All-Star break, and, you know, it's 5 quality starts. He's 3-0, and his ERA is 0.83. So you start thinking about that. It's just been incredible how good he's been. And here in August, his ERA is 0.35. So it just gets better and better. So you need a guy that you can ride every fifth day if you're going to get into postseason play, and it seems like Jack Flaherty's turning into that guy.
Meanwhile, the Cardinals bullpen has been the unit that has been the most consistent all season long. They've been really good, one of the better bullpens in baseball. Is there any reason to think that won't continue? I mean, even without Jordan Hicks part of the mix, they've been really good.
Well, since Hicks went down, Carlos Martinez is 13 for 14 in save opportunities. It gets interesting when he's in. You know, there might be a walk or a couple of hits, but the bottom line is, are you getting the save? And he's doing that. And the Cardinals are finding ways to win, and they score late in games, and that all of a sudden puts even more an importance on the bullpen to keep you in the game, to give you a chance to come back like they did last night. So I started wondering prior to this hit just how good the Cardinals have been in the 7th inning or later. Opponents are only hitting .213 in the 7th inning or later this year. Now, think about that. And I thought, man, that's pretty darn good. How good is it? It's the 3rd lowest mark the National League has seen in 40 years. That's how good the bullpen has been. And if you get into postseason play, and basically like the Blues were in January, where every game is a playoff game, in a way, that's kind of what's happening now for the Cardinals. You got to win every single game going out that you can. And that's where, if you think about how guys manage in postseason play, I go back to the 2011 Cardinals really as being the first to utilize a bullpen with matchup, and getting to the strength of the back end. And certainly the Royals did that in riding a couple of teams to the World Series. And I think the Cardinals will do that this year too. I'm not sure it'll take them to the World Series, but you may not see starters go as deep, but you're going to see a lot of guys come out of that bullpen maybe earlier than you did at the beginning of the year. And it'll be interesting to see how Mike Shildt keeps guys fresh down the stretch, but when you have a bullpen like he's got and weapons that he's got, it's going to give you a chance to win a lot of games.
Daniel, we know you have to get ready for work with FS Midwest. We'll be tuned in tonight. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you soon. That's LA Rams head coach Sean McVay, who is not going to play his starters during the preseason, even though people have purchased tickets at full price for preseason games. You don't get to see Jared Goff. You don't get to see Todd Gurley. You don't get to see Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald, because Sean McVay doesn't think that his players should be put at that risk. He said, not to say there's not an appreciation for what the preseason entails in playing real football. I think there is a lot of merit to that. But when you look at some of the continuity now that we have on both sides of the ball coming back, and you say, if something were to happen, is it really worth that risk in our mind? He said, we just felt like it wasn't worth it.
Let me just say this. If you're a football fan of any kind and you have paid attention to NFL like, oh, I don't know, ever, and you buy tickets to a preseason game and they're just as expensive, and again, I don't know because I've never paid for preseason football tickets and I never will. I will literally never pay for a preseason NFL game ever in my life. I can guarantee that. But if you have purchased a ticket for a preseason game and you don't already know that you're going to see very few starters, and if you do see them, it's not going to be for very long, and you're upset by that, then I have to assume you're an idiot, because everybody knows these guys are not going to play much, if at all. And if you have paid full price to watch a series or a quarter of football, then there's something wrong with you, and that is on you.
Well, it wasn't always that way, though, and that's the issue. For example, when The Greatest Show on Turf was playing, the third preseason game, they would play the entire first half. Warner and company would play a quarter, then they'd play a quarter and a half, then they'd play two quarters. And that was worth it because they were great and they were fun to watch. Now you aren't seeing any of those players. And that's what it has devolved into, is that, well, let's listen to Sean McVay. And they don't make decisions, clearly, that are in the best interests of their customers. And that's historic with that franchise, at least. But at least he's admitting it. I'll give him credit for that, saying, we're going to screw you, but at least we're going to tell you about it.
But I would look at it this way, and I do look at it this way. If I'm a Rams fan right now, it is more likely I'm not attending a preseason game than I am attending
one. Well, if you're a Rams fan right now, it's more likely you aren't attending a regular season game either.
Well, but let's pretend the team is still here in St. Louis or somewhere where they have been more supportive of NFL historically, okay? Even then, how many people? 60,000, 70,000 people in the stadium, whereas there are millions of fans outside of that. If I'm Sean McVay, I'm worried about the millions of fans that are consuming my team one way or another, and I want my team, as one of those millions of fans, to be healthy going into the regular season and to not have my guys getting put into exposing them to injury. And I understand it's football, it's violent, injuries can happen anywhere. I can take it if my players get hurt in a regular season game. If it happens in the preseason, I'm going to be pissed off. And I don't care about, quite frankly, I don't care about the people who have paid money for preseason tickets. I care about my team winning in the regular season.
And this is why there should not be a preseason anymore.
I do agree with that.
College football has no problem playing true freshman quarterbacks in the first game without ever playing a preseason game. So what's the point? If you aren't going to play your starters, if they don't need the experience of a game to get better, and you're going to be playing rookies that you aren't going to play during the preseason, then what the hell's the point of the preseason? The only reason that they do it is because, number one, they don't have to pay the players as much. They don't get a regular game check, but they get the same amount of TV money and the same amount of revenue from season ticket holders.
Right. So this really is not about getting ready for the regular season.
It's about making
money for the league and for ownership. So I look, as a fan, I don't really care how many guys play in the regular season. And I feel like if you've
preseason,
right. And I feel like if you've gone and bought tickets and you're expecting something you're not getting, that's on you, man.
Well,
you should know better. Don't buy tickets.
Yeah, that's the problem with season tickets. And that's why the secondary market in the NFL is so strong now, because it's ridiculous that they do charge you regular season prices for preseason games.
And if you want the regular season, you have to take the preseason too, which I think is a different conversation. It's not on Sean McVay to appease the people who are going to preseason, because you're in the end, you are making a larger portion of your fans happy by keeping the team healthy going into the regular season. And it's very difficult to argue with what he's done. They were the fourth healthiest team in football last year. and they went 13-3. And he did a similar thing last preseason. So can't argue with it until it doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just a shame that they treat their customers the way that they do. But
that's the league. That's not Sean McVay, though.
No, that's an historic aspect of the NFL. And by the way, it's not the league. It wasn't always the league. It is the league now. But like I said, it wasn't always the case. It used to be the third preseason game was what they called the dress rehearsal. And they would get everybody in there, and you could see ones versus ones. There's no way to, and you used to be able to evaluate a team as a fan. You can't do that anymore. We have one segment left for the week, and we want your text for a game of Would You Rather. Get them in now to the Hot Shots text line, 65780. Would You Rather next on 101 ESPN. Big sports weekend here in St. Louis, what with the Cardinals being in town, taking on the Rockies and the Bomarito 500 tomorrow at Worldwide Technology Raceway. Still tickets available for that if you aren't doing anything tomorrow night. That's an unbelievable experience to see an IndyCar race, so you can check that out. Plus, here on 101 ESPN, we have multiple sporting events tomorrow at 2:30, Yankees and Dodgers tomorrow night at 6:30. You've got Florida and Miami, and then Sunday Night Baseball, Yankees and Dodgers again. And the next Wednesday, we've got Tampa Bay and Houston. That'll be a great one as well. We want your text now to the Hot Shots text line, 65780, for a game of Would You Rather. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Guys, would you rather get your biggest payday of your entire life at the age of 25 and then never be able to make more after that, or 45?
How big is my payday?
I'd go 45.
You never know. I mean, it's just the biggest of your life.
I'd be more responsible with it at 45. I'd rather climb that ladder, too. 45 is better.
Well, I'm thinking if this payday is huge and I get it at 25, I can invest it then.
Mm-hmm.
And so then.
You won't invest it at 25.
Well, but I could.
But you won't.
No.
Yes, but I could.
Yeah, but.
And then I would have 20 years on you in terms of that investment. And by the time I'm 45, it's even more money.
You're going to be buying cars and big ostentatious homes and stuff at 25. 45, you're going to be much more responsible with your money.
Oh.
Trust me.
Would you rather every morning at the start of your morning spill food or coffee on your shirt and you cannot change your shirt for the rest of the day, or gleek on someone during every conversation you have with them?
I'll spill the coffee.
What's gleek?
It's when like you're talking
spit,
and it like
spit comes out.
It's like a spit fountain. Yeah.
It's not every that conversation.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll spill the food.
Because then you're known as the guy who's spitting on people, and nobody's going to want to talk to you. Yeah,
no.
That's no good.
Would you rather mow the lawn or cut the grass? What do you call it?
I'll cut the grass.
Mow the lawn.
Mow the lawn.
Is that what you go with? Mow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or trim the yard?
I've never heard anybody
that
say that seriously,
You have a lawn mower to mow the lawn. It's not a grass cutter.
But it's cutting grass.
It is, but you use a lawnmower to mow the lawn.
You can call it a grass cutter if you want. You ever used one of those non-motorized?
I have.
Is it how bad? Is it really that bad?
You have to be pretty strong. Yeah. It's not bad. It's good for you.
It's good exercise.
Great exercise.
I'm talking about the one with just the wheels and the blade.
One of those when I was a kid. I used one when I was a kid, but they still make them. I've used one in the last decade or so.
You can get one
at
like Home Depot or whatever.
Pretty cool.
I was watching Shark Tank and they have like the Roombas now that do it, that cut your grass.
Oh, well,
that's
mow
good
the
idea.
Lawn.
That
I
sounds
guess.
Fun.
Yeah, it's all electronic.
I've only gotten to use a riding mower one time. I mean a riding cutter.
Did you race it against somebody?
No, but I think I ran over a snake.
Oh, good.
Yeah, my grandpa used to have a house on one of these rivers over here.
Uh-huh.
And he let me cut the yard once. That's another way to say it. And I ran over a snake. It was gross.
Yeah, it was grosser when it was alive.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been there.
Nope.
Would you, if you are in jail, you're thrown in jail randomly, would you rather be able to walk out free after solving a Rubik's Cube in one sitting or after doing 10 consecutive pull-ups?
Pull-ups.
Really?
Yeah.
You could do 10 pull-ups.
That's a lot of pull-ups.
I could do
10
pull-ups quicker than I could finish a Rubik's Cube.
But you got to do it in one sitting, like in one session.
And then what happens when you don't?
You just stay in jail till you figure it out, I guess.
No, that's it. You get one chance. That's what I see. I would take the Rubik's Cube. I think it would be easier. Even if it took like 10 hours, I'll figure it out.
How many pull-ups do you think you could do right now?
Oh.
Mike Ryder and I had this conversation.
3 or 4.
Really?
Tops.
Okay, so we did have the discussion, like hands, palms facing towards you like a curl, or do you do it with the palms facing away?
Is harder.
Right. So we'll give you the option here, but you can do it either way.
Yeah, pull-ups. Yeah, I do that. Are you allowed to take all the stickers off the Rubik's Cube and then just put them on the way they...
No, it doesn't work like that.
Darn it.
The guards would catch you anyways.
I don't know. Maybe they aren't looking. Maybe they're worried about murderers.
Maybe they're Epstein's.
Yeah. Go do your job. Don't look at me doing this Rubik's Cube. There's a guy hanging himself in that solitary cell.
Did the... they found out what happened, right? The guy fell asleep? No. But didn't the...
Oh, did the guard fall asleep?
I believe the guard literally fell asleep like the...
What? Did somebody buy him a chair?
Yes. I think that's what happened. Wouldn't you be more comfortable in a chair?
Would you rather never be able to order food from the appetizer page or the dessert page?
I think I'd do the dessert page.
Yeah, never be able to order dessert. I agree. I like... more appetizers that are available than desserts.
I do too. And you can always make dessert at home. Ordinarily, when you go to a restaurant, you'll find an appetizer that you probably wouldn't make as well at home.
Sometimes you can do an appetizer for a full meal. Nachos, or like if they have a sampler.
It's true.
All kinds of options. And would you rather date someone with 3 arms or date someone with 3 legs and 3 feet?
Probably 3 arms.
3 arms.
Can hide one of those arms.
That includes 3 hands, too, right?
Son of a... Yes, it does.
Okay, 3 arms. It
Randy.
Is. What?
Gross. But good call.
I'm just saying to set the table and stuff like that.
Yeah, oh, there you go. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. Good call, man. I'm with you. You could... And look, if you take her out in public, you could hide one of those arms.
Yeah, you could, right?
Hey, keep it in your coat, right?
Yep.
Are you embarrassed of my arm? No, just keep it in your coat.
Yeah. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
It's our producer, Brad Barnes. Yeah, he'll be doing that this weekend.
Whoa, come on,
Randy.
Damn,
man.
I'm just saying.
Don't air my business like that.
Ronj.
I'm expecting a big weekend for somebody. Whatever it is, just something.
You can see BT on TV throughout the weekend. As always, our board operator, Mike Ryder, doing the best job of any board operator in town. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and being a part of the show. Have a great weekend. And as our friend Ron Burgundy might say...